I don't know about you, but I love watching sports. At home, though, I have the benefit of free parking. The restroom and the concession stand are just steps away. And I also then have a big man recliner as a seat. I can watch sports just as easily from home. But at home, I miss some things. At home, I miss the energy in the stadium of thousands. I miss the noise of the cheering fans, the smell of popcorn and hot dogs. You knew I'd have to get food in there somehow. And there's more to come. I miss the camaraderie of being surrounded by others who are representing my team. It's the same game as I could watch at home, but it feels different in person. Similar feelings could apply to a live music concert. And I missed the live music concert today, obviously. I could listen to the same band on the radio as I could see in person. But in person, the music is loud. The crowd cheers as their favorite song is being played. And then the whole crowd will sing along as well. It's the same music as I could listen at home on a CD, but it feels different in person. How about a live comedy? I don't know if anybody's ever seen a comedian live. Sometimes you think you're seeing that every Sunday morning here. But while the comedian can be funny, there's something about the contagiousness of the crowd's laughter that builds and makes us even laugh yet even more. It's the same jokes as I could listen to if I was to have a DVD of that comedian, but it feels so much different when you're in person. Hey, it even applies to a funeral. Let me share that. I could easily stay at home and send a condolence, my condolences, with a card. But attending a funeral in person, surrounded by folks who have someone in common, it feels different from the emotional experience when a certain song is played and the tears begin to flow, or from laughing with the family when a funny memory of that loved one comes up in the eulogy, or even giving that comforting hug when your loved one is standing at the casket. You know, it's the same condolence I could express from home with a card, but it feels different attending a funeral in person. Here's my last example. Taco Tuesday at Ben's Bar. I could easily eat tacos and drink iced tea every Tuesday at home. But it would, and it would save me money, it would save me miles, and it would save me time. But I would miss out on some things. I would miss out on the dozens of people that I've met these past 2.5 years. I have built and continue to build relationships with people. Every week I look forward to chatting with the staff about their families, about themselves. If I stayed home on Tuesdays, I would miss asking one of their great cooks, Darlene, about the ingredients in some of the food. You all know how much I love bell peppers, which I hate, just to clarify that. And so I'll ask Darlene, does the Spanish hamburger, does it have bell pepper? Did you put bell pepper in the such and such, the meatloaf? Because I want to avoid that at all costs. I would miss Mike telling me about going to the Amish store regularly like he does, and he specifically gets the homemade jalapeno cheddar bread. And then he tells me all the other things he gets. If I didn't go on Tuesdays to Ben's, I would miss out on lovingly hearing people tease one another. Hearing them tease Earl or Bud or Roger. I would miss out on the details of Kyle telling me about his latest woodworking project for his grandkids. I'd miss talking to Terry and Vicky, and the names could go on and on and on. You know, I thoroughly enjoy the conversations from the bar stool. Many times we talk about sports, as you can imagine, TV shows, food, news, all kinds of topics. But I'm really touched when the conversations turn to more serious things. The conversations may be tough questions about life, about death, about the Bible, about the church, or about God. I would miss all that if I stayed at home on Tuesdays and ate tacos and drank iced tea alone. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying this morning. I'm setting up the verses I'm about to share in a few minutes, but trying to help us identify what it's like when we do things together or do things with other people versus doing that same thing alone. And do you know that the Bible actually talks about this too? The Bible talks about the value of being together with other people, even to worship God together. Now, can we worship without going to a church, going to this building? Absolutely. You can worship while you're driving in your car, on the lawnmower, fishing, hunting, shopping. There's all kinds of ways we can worship God. But does it feel better? Does it feel differently when we do it in person, when we worship in person together? Well, I'm seeing some heads nod yes. That's a good sign. I think you know what my answer is going to be. It's going to be yeah. But more important than your head nodding or my saying yes is the Bible says, God says something about this idea of coming together for worship. And that's going to be the theme of today's message. And it's going to be based on a song. And Pauletta, I believe this came from you. You had told me about when you found out that we knew this series was coming. This has been months ago. So if you don't remember, I barely remember. But it was a song I'd never heard of. It was by a group I'd never heard of. And it goes way back to when I was 4 years old, 1959. A group by the name of the Browns, and it was, now she's remembering, Jim Ed Brown is the lead singer, and I believe it's his two sisters, and they're the Browns. And they sang a song that's going to be based on today's message, or today's message is going to be based on this song. It's called The Three Bells, I come to find out, but most people know it by the title, Little Jimmy Brown. In fact, in 1959, it won the Song of the Year. It won a Grammy Award for Song of the Year. So in the day, it was very popular. Here are the lyrics, and then the message will follow. There's a village hidden deep in the valley, among the pine trees half forlorn. And there on a sunny morning, little Jimmy Brown was born. All the chapel bells were ringing in that little valley town. And the song that they were singing was for baby Jimmy Brown. Within the congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation. Bless this hour of meditation. Guide him with eternal love. There's a village hidden deep in the valley, beneath the mountains high above. And there, 20 years later, Jimmy was to meet his love. All the chapel bells were ringing. It was a great day in his life because the songs that they were singing was for Jimmy and his wife. Then the little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation. Bless, O Lord, this celebration. May their lives be filled with love. From the village hidden deep in the valley, one rainy morning, dark and gray, a soul winged its way to heaven. Jimmy Brown had passed away. Just a lonely bell was ringing in the little valley town. 'Twas farewell it was singing to our good old Jimmy Brown. And the little congregation prayed for guidance from above. Lead us not into temptation. May his soul find salvation of thy great eternal love. Kind of a neat song. And when Pauletta suggested to me, I, again, never had heard of it, went out and read the lyrics, and immediately, and this has been months ago, immediately knew the verse that God would have us bring out as a message, as a gospel message, based on that country song. And I'll get to that verse. It's just three verses today. Ron has it easy. It's just three verses, and it's one verse that is absolute key to what the message is today. So I'm going to ask a question. Why go to church? I mean, it seems like this little congregation from this song tells me, I'm thinking of it as a little country church. It doesn't say so in the song, so to speak, but I'm thinking it's a little country church, maybe in a small town like Caddis. It's the Caddis French Church, or it's the Kindred French Church. And that little church, that little congregation, was a part of Jimmy Brown's life for all his life. When he was born, the congregation asked for blessings on his life. When he was married, the congregation was there still as he got married in that church, and they celebrated him and his wife's life. And then even at his death, his casket was here in the front of the church, and the folks from that little village, that little country town, came and honored his life. And I believe that that little congregation at that little church was part of his life. If the song could have been longer, we would have seen all the things, all the ways that that little church influenced Jimmy Brown. So the question is, why go to church? Is it to worship God? Well, again, we can do that at home while hunting, going fishing, shopping. I've mentioned all those things. Taking a walk, but it feels different in person. Why go to church? Is it to be taught the Bible? Well, every Sunday morning, and I have done this for decades, and I did this morning, just like clockwork, is I'm watching a preacher on TV by the name of Charles Stanley. And I have watched him for decades. He's almost like one of my preachers, one of my pastors for most of my life. I've heard more sermons from him than anyone. Does he teach the Bible well? Excellence. Excellence is how I would describe his Bible. So why go to church? Is it to get Bible teaching? Well, you can watch Charles Stanley and a host of other great preachers at home or on the radio, or you can buy their books and get knowledge about the Bible from that. Or if you miss church anytime, you can always watch that famous guy Bob Lines on Facebook and get some good Bible teaching. But maybe, just maybe, the fire ants have an idea about all this with coming together and the value of connecting. Fire ants, yes, you heard me right. In the midst of horrible flooding in South Carolina a few years ago, and I remember when this was on the news, I remember seeing it on Facebook and then actually going and watching the video. But in the midst of this horrible flooding in South Carolina a few years ago, there was a story told about how these tiny fire ants, has anybody seen a fire ant before? I mean, they're just a little speck. Okay, we got some, even the little one in the very back has seen a fire ant. Well, they're very small. Well, they survived this flood because they came together. On the news, they showed the image of how the fire ants linked together and formed a floating raft. So if you can only imagine how small they were, how many it must have taken, because when you saw the picture on the video, it looked like a large carpet floating on the water. They all grabbed hold of each other until they reached higher ground. They survived the flood. Seemingly, they would have all died had they tried to swim by themselves and survive the flood. All of them drowned. But they stayed connected physically and survived. Well, if a fire ants can do it, if they've got an idea to do it, maybe we can do it too. Because the way I see it, we're surrounded by forces that would cause us to drown at any given day. And sheer individual commitment. I don't care if you've got eight legs trying to swim. I bet that they would still have drowned. Sheer individual commitment alone is not enough to keep us safe from the treacherous waters of this world. When we attend church like this, it's like we're connecting together so that we can help each other survive the dangerous flood of this world and what? Until we reach higher ground. And the higher ground can be lots of things. Sometimes we need to link together until we reach the higher ground of overcoming this illness that we have. And then we can all celebrate that in our congregation when one has recovered from cancer or gotten through a surgery. Maybe gotten through a divorce. Maybe had to relocate. Or maybe a spouse has passed away, a child has passed away. And yet linking together, we can link together until we survive that flood and reach higher ground. Or maybe it's the ultimate of us linking together until we reach the higher ground of heaven. That maybe we're helpful enough to one another by linking together that we survive this world in its entirety until heaven comes. Well, now I'm going to get to the verses, and it's in the book of Hebrews, if you're taking notes. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And it's just three little verses. And again, one is the key. When I read the lyrics of the song, I thought of this one particular verse. Hebrews 10, starting with 23, says, for us to do this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And this is the key. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let us not neglect meeting together. And then it's ended with this. Especially, or some translations say, all the more, now that the day of his return is drawing near. Do we have any idea how long ago this was written? A long time ago. Maybe close to 2,000 years ago. And if God put it in the Bible, it was true. So if it was true 2,000 years ago that the day of Christ's return was near, and it was, then how much nearer is it today? Well, it's at least 2,000 years nearer. And so if it was important to not neglect coming together back then, how much more important is it to not neglect to come together now? And I'm going to get into, as I finish up this message, I'm going to get into the difficulty of how it is in this situation we're in, of meeting together. But there's four things from this, real quickly, four things from this these verses that it tells us. It says that we should hold tightly together, we should motivate one another, we should encourage one another, as well as meeting together. And some of those things of holding tightly, motivating, and encouraging, they can only happen when we're physically together. Can we encourage and hold tight and motivate from a distance? Yeah, to a degree we can, but a lot of it happens when we're physically connected. You know, one of the things I have absolutely loved about this congregation that I miss so much, and I bet many of you do too, it's the gathering together. I mean, I always missed it because of being at Kennard, but on Sunday mornings between Sunday school and this service, there'd be that time of fellowship with something to eat and drink. But more important than the food and the drink was the fellowship. That was a food that our body needs, a spiritual food, a connecting food. But then the meals that we would have together here to celebrate either holidays or certain things, or be a birthday celebration sometime in the summer to celebrate all birthdays. I miss all that. I missed that really, really bad. So we have to do it differently now. Well, I know that this pandemic affects us all differently. Some of our regular, and catch me here, some of our regular church family must take extra precautions to avoid being around others. So not only are they not able to come together here in this building, they don't go to the grocery store. They don't get together at the family birthday dinner, maybe. Or they're taking extra precautions if they do any of that. So the thing of it is, we understand that. And we miss those folks. And we hope that they're back sometime soon. Okay, that's one group of our regular church family that probably can't come back until there's a solution to this pandemic. And then there's another group of our regular church family. And hear me when I say this really lovingly. But some of them, some of our church family have gotten too used to a different pastor. Pastor Pillow. Do you know the man? Pastor Pillow? He's in your bedroom. And it's so easy just to, oh, I can catch this on Facebook later this afternoon after I eat and take a nap. Or maybe it's that you've started attending another church called the Congregation of the Latter-day Couches. The Congregation of the Latter-day Couches, where, you know what, I'm up and I could go, but, you know, got to shower, get dressed, comb both hairs. And it's kind of cold outside. I'm going to scrape the windshield. This is coming, those windshield scraping days. It'd be just as easy to attend church virtually, watch it on Facebook. You know, it was just a couple of weeks or so ago when Jan and I were in quarantine for COVID. We didn't have COVID. We never had COVID. We never had any sickness. But out of precaution, because we were exposed, we thought we should stay home. Well, I don't know if you caught it the one Sunday, if any of you watched it on Facebook, but while someone, Deb, was here preaching in person, I was still doing my Facebook sermon from my big man's recliner. That was pretty nice. Flip the foot rest up and sit back. And I understand. But I miss seeing you folks in person. I would hate to have to preach and pastor from a distance like that. And the other thing with Facebook, while you folks that if you miss, or the ones that miss a lot, and again, I understand, they get to see me, but I don't get to see them. They get to see me, but they don't get to see you. We're missing some of this connection. When at the same time, we seem to have created a type of what I would call hybrid congregation. In the last 6 months, or since March, when we had to close the doors to this building for what, about 3 months? And then the only way we were hearing a message, or as a congregation, I guess, and for me, was through Facebook. Well, I did that for us, but I didn't understand how it would explode to other people being part of our congregation in a virtual way as well. So as we've included this Facebook congregation, along with Caddis and along with Kennard, we've created this hybrid congregation. We have a lot of people connecting by viewing our Sunday services online. Some of them are our regular members, like I mentioned. Some are members of other churches. And that's fantastic. We're just an extra shot of Jesus for them. And I'm thrilled that they have a home church. And I hope that they can support that church and be part of it physically and connecting with them, you know, in the future. But I'm also thankful that they get to connect with us too. And there's some that just live too far away. There's some that are watching us and being part of our congregation online, but they live in another state, or they live too far away from Kennard or Caddis to ever come in person. And then there are some that are watching by Facebook. They don't have a home church. They don't go to church, period. but they just don't feel comfortable yet walking into the sanctuary of the Caddis Friends Church or the Kennard Friends Church, or for that matter, any church. They're just not ready to come in. But that's all part of our congregation now. You see, the Caddis Friends Church ministry is not just what we see in our peripheral vision. It goes way beyond. As a matter of fact, this morning I checked, and last Sunday's message on Facebook had 479 views. And what I'm understanding from talking to people is that more than one person is watching with that view. Now, certainly there are singles that are watching, people watching by themselves. But what I'm understanding is there's a lot of couples that watch or families that watch. So if you take 479 times even two, it's under 1,000 people. You're approaching 1,000 people. That's what our ministry is reaching. So just keep that in mind. But this is a brand new, I guess I call a coronavirus / social media culture that we're in. And while earlier we even talked, it even affects the schools. It affects where we work and things like that. And I honestly don't know how to meet the spiritual needs of this whole congregation like I did 6 months ago, when I could just see you folks and we could shake hands at the end or give a hug, or I could come to your house and visit, or we would sit around a table when we'd have one of our meals. I don't know how to meet the spiritual needs of this whole congregation. And folks, that is my calling. That's what God's asked me to do. So my question is, how can I shepherd a flock that is scattered in multiple pastures? It's one thing to have a flock that's scattered, because there are times 6 months ago we were a scattered flock at times. Not everyone was here all the time. I understand that. But now the flock is scattered in multiple pastures. How do you minister to that group? So what I want the Lord to show me and to show us, because if you've got ideas, I'm all ears. How can we apply this verse? How can we hold tightly together, motivate one another, encourage one another, and oh, by the way, not neglect meeting together as the day of his coming draws near? How can we do that in this new culture? You know, often I ask, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And I want to ask that question, and I always want to be able to pray for you about anything. Some things you share to everyone. And sometimes people say, I need you to pray for this for me, and no one needs to know. And I can assure you, no one does know. If you tell me not to tell anyone, Jan does not know. It is completely confidential. But today I'm asking you to pray for me, and really to pray for us. I'm asking this prayer, Lord, could you show me, could you show us how in the world we're to obey Hebrews chapter 10's command in this current environment, and especially as the day of Christ's coming draws near. I sure hope, and if you guys want to, whoever's going to close us in with a song. But I sure hope you've heard my message this morning that comes from a heart of love. I mean, you're here this morning, but there's times you can't be here, maybe next Sunday or the next Sunday. Or you might miss being able to connect two Sundays. I understand all that. So I hope this message comes across with a heart of love, because I truly love my Caddis Friends Church family. I truly love the Kennard Friends Church family. I truly love the Ben's Bar Taco Tuesday family. And I truly love the folks that are out there watching on Facebook, many of whom I never meet. And yet I love them. Of the 479 views that we had from last week's message, maybe 50 either made a comment or clicked on an emoji so I could know who's watching, who's listening to God's word. But there's hundreds, I have no idea who they are. How do I, as a pastor, connect with them and connect them with you and with all of us? I'm asking God to show me, to show us how to do that. But if Jesus has taught me anything, and I'm just going to end with this sentence, if Jesus has taught me anything, it's to love. It's to love God, and it's to love you. And while we can do all this individually, separately, I really do think this thing of church feels differently when we do it together, when we do it in person. And I thank you for being here in person this morning. Folks, what song are we going to end with then today?
We're going to end with The Family of God, number 114 in Portsmouth.
114.
We'll sing this through a couple of times.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by
for being here. Now go and be blessed and be a blessing.